Well, I pray we'll get started. Father, thank you. Everything we have received from you. Thank you for this day, for the change of the seasons, another reminder of your promise to us. You are so good. And even though we still choose to sin, you forgive us, pour out your grace, and kindness on us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Speak to us. Just this evening we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, David has sinned, right? With Bathsheba, and what was the consequence?
There was
tempest. Now, we've made plenty of references from you in there,
great.
So.
When I knew the beautiful Bathsheba.
Just FYI, so what was the consequence other than the child dying?
There was not going to be any peace in his household.
Right. Now we're going to see that play out. So the author, who we don't know who the author is of 1 and 2 Samuel, time has passed, and here we go. Sin has its consequences. So verses 1 through 22. Yes.
Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. Sorry. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat them from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, where he was laying down. And she took dough and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, send out everyone from me. So everyone went out from them. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the chamber, that I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. She answered him, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageously. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. But he would not listen to her, and being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get up, go. But she said to him, no, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her. Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore. And she laid her hand on her head and went away, crying aloud as she went. And her brother Absalom said to her, has Amnon your brother been with you? Now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart. So Tamar lived a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister.
Quick thoughts before you. Well, one of the thoughts I had as I was listening to it was,
it didn't take long for trouble to come to David's house.
He's his father's son.
Yes, yeah, so
I mean,
his dad was similar. His dad had the thoughts of Bathsheba, and that was obviously, you know, passed on to, you know, his son. Can you look up Galatians 6, 7, and 8?
Sure. Is that Galatians 6?
Yeah, 7 and 8.
7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
So the judgment against David and the consequences that he was to face. Sin has consequences, and we're reading this, and that's exactly what Galatians says as well. So, you reap what you sow, and we're going to see how that plays out. I wrote down here that the pain of the harvest eclipsed the pleasure of the planting. That's going to happen in this story. What's going to happen as a result of this, is tragic. It does go back to what David did. Now again, what did David do? Not only did he commit adultery,
he killed Uriah,
and he lied about it. He just said he deceived about it. And what he did privately was going to be done publicly, and we'll see how that plays out. So, when I see this, I think of, you know, when the sex role reversal in the Garden of Eden. She stepped out of her role, and he was a passive male, and he let it happen. I mean, they knew it was wrong, they shouldn't eat from that, but that sex role reversal, but the consequences to that were severe. It was what I call it, a tit-for-tat punishment, right? You wouldn't lead, you wouldn't protect, you were a passive head, which I'm going to make your life miserable and force you to lead because your wife is going to seek to control you. You stepped outside of your role. You want to take the lead. You're not the head. I didn't create you to be the head. You're going to desire that, and you're going to suffer under, at times, ungodly male domination. And on top of that, the ground won't produce for you, Adam. I'm going to curse the earth. And you're going to have great pain and childbirth. I mean, all because of that. David was murdered. You know, it wasn't stealing or anything. It was put degrees on sin. But man. And so now he does this in a moment of passion, meditated passion. And then tries to cover it up in a period of, I don't know, weeks or a month, whatever. And then he's called out about a year into this whole thing. But then for years, he will suffer.
It would have been better if he would have just killed him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to suffer a lot more this way.
I have eight consequences to sin here. Number one was there's marital infidelity. You know, if we go back to here. Yeah, 2 Timothy 12:11. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I'll even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion. And the companion ended up being the son Absalom. You will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun. Okay. He lost a child. It's another consequence. It's in 2 Samuel 12:15-18. It's all because of sin of Bathsheba. There was rape. You just read that. Ammon raped Tamar. Amnon raped Tamar. There's hatred. Absalom is now burning with hatred. Okay? There will be murder again, because what's going to happen? Absalom will murder Amnon. We'll find out. There's going to be rebellion. Absalom will flee from this David. Verse 7, there's going to be a conspiracy against David. And once again, there's going to be another murder. I think, is it Abner? Whoever is, I can't remember the top of my head. The general to David will kill Absalom against the king's request.
Joab? And Joab is the one that recommended him to come back.
Yeah. And so those are 8 consequences right there. I would point out to you, what does this sin do to Amnon as well in this story? He wanted, he loved, and was so sickly.
And he hated her.
He hated her. Okay? And what does verse, I wrote down here, what does verse my question is this as well. We need to start asking ourselves this. What kind of household was David running? You are a father, not of how many children, because he had, I don't know how many wives, and he lost count.
But it's almost like he's lost control of his household.
Well, okay, but this happens exactly. What should he have done? What did the law say?
Well, he was to put, well, first he was to be put to death for what he did, but God put that away. But Amnon was supposed to be put, either put to death or to give fourfold to the family who he had ruined her materially, were no longer want to marry her.
Yeah.
So I think that's how that's in the Old Testament.
And it asks, kind of house was there, any kind of father was David? Because what we're seeing here is David's children do not follow in their devotion to the Lord. You don't want to mess with sin. You write down Proverbs 6:20-32 and lift that up to your own, but you don't want to mess with sin. Proverbs 6:20-32. But let me say this. You know, we're watching our children grow up, and we take in the... I don't think parenting is that difficult. Well, I had good parents, but I didn't read a ton of books. She read more than I did, but you know, we shepherd a child's heart. But we taught them the Word of God, gave them plenty of love, discipline, the consequences, rewards. You know, there was all that stuff, encouragement, whatnot. And as we got older, we said, okay, now we move from a different phase to where it's like, okay, now I'm controlling everything. Now you need to do more freedom. Now it's like, well, now we're just coaching and advising. And if you train a child up in the way that they should go, they don't depart from it. And we're seeing that for the most part. One of the things that Peggy Eggerdahl shared with me when I first got here, I got to meet her family. She said they were concerned because, Kristen was walking with the Lord, and so was Gina. But the other two, there's Lindsay, and I don't know the other name.
Michelle.
Who's been, Lindsay was down in Oregon, right? Michelle was up in Bainbridge. She's now down. She did a house swap. Did you know that? Anyways, Lindsay and her husband work for Nike, I think, or something. Or he does. She did. She now works for the, did you work for the University of Oregon or something like that? Anyways, Roger Eggerdahl told me, he said that they're just kind of fed up with being down there and how woke Nike become. I was kind of taken back by that. So I was told by Peggy that they really were walking the floor. And he said, well, you train a child up in the way they should go, well, depart from it. I don't know exactly what that meant. He has more insight than I do, but you know, they were not, had not embraced their faith as much as they, Ryan and Peggy hoped, but there's some stuff that stuck. So, as far as I know, it only, what the text tells, it was only Solomon who was doing it with the Lord.
Well, it's like his other, you know, the kids that he had before, and then, you know, the time, when he was with Bathsheba, in that time frame, I mean, we don't know how much time it was, but how, when his kids saw his behavior, he wasn't walking with the, you know, he was sort of wishy-washy.
That was only for about 9 months to a year. Other than that, he was...
But he was walking, he was wishy-washy. You know, kids don't latch on to this, the smallest bad thing to a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Depending on, like, their age, whatever.
Right. Well, let's look at Absalom kills Amnon, verses 23-39.
After 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shearers at Balthazar, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant. But the king said to Absalom, no, my son, let us not all go, lest we be burdensome to you. He pressed him, but he would not go, but gave him his blessing. Then Absalom said, if not, please let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said to him, why should he go with you? But Absalom pressed him until he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Then Absalom commanded his servants, mark when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon and kill him. Do not fear. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. While they were on the way, news came to David. Absalom had struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them was left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all the servants who were standing by tore their garments. But Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, said, let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the young men and the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day he violated his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon alone is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man who kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, behold, the king's sons have come. As your servant said, so it has come about. And as soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. David mourned for his son day after day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the spirit of the king longed to go out to Absalom because he was comforted about Amnon since he was dead.
Okay. 2 years have passed. What's up with Absalom's anger?
you say again?
2 years have passed. What's up with Absalom's anger?
Well, it didn't subside.
Brewing.
So unresolved anger, what is it due to the human heart? Unresolved anger turns into bitterness. And it's called anger gone underground. Okay, so he's got a bitter heart. You also know now that if you let the sun go down your anger, okay, you do not let the sun go down. Healed it. But if you let the sun go down in your anger, or you do not let the sun and you stay angry, basically, you put yourself in a position where you can be offended in the trap of Satan and all that, he will use you to do his will. Now, Satan is a part of this. He's not mentioned, but we know that. Because Absalom is in a state of defense, okay? He will do the will of Satan. But that is directed by who? God, kind of his sovereignty, okay? Now, Amnon was probably also killed, just you need to know this, to clear the way to the throne, because he was the oldest. Okay?
Wait a minute, are you saying Amnon?
Amnon was the oldest.
Yes, he was the oldest.
So,
and Absalom was what, third down?
Something like that. This is premeditated murder. The planning, the detail on Amnon's murder. Where did he get that, absolutely get that from? David. David premeditated murder, Uriah, and the uncontrolled sexual desire from Amnon, from David, okay? By the way, the cities of refuge that he fled to, they don't give protection to willful murderers. Okay? Absalom flees to his mother's father, which is his grandfather. Okay? Any else?
So she's not Jewish. His mother was not Jewish. And so was raised in that.
Was his mother? Was his mother?
I can't remember. Wasn't she with the Moldavia or something like that?
It doesn't matter. That's. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it does. Because where do you think the kids get their instructions from? That's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Because Amnon feigns. Later on, he feigns to be religious and taking on
Absalom
feigns to pretend that he's going to worship God. You know, that gives his pretense.
Before I read that second passage, that's where my brain was going. Is when you were talking about the father, I was like, wait a second. These kids of David were raised by different women, so. That's going to fall apart in their character.
And he had all these different kinds of wives that were not.
Right.
Israelites.
So that.
Different cultures, different.
Right. Because I'm assuming, I don't know if the culture would have been, I guess at a certain age they would have started spending more time with David, but in their young years they would spend more time with mom.
How did Jacob deceive Isaac? Mother, it was Rachel, or Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca. Rebecca took a goat, the goat here, and put it on his hand, and he didn't let Esau. So he was deceived, okay? How was the Jacob then deceived later in his life? By the robe and the of blood and all that. Now, how did David kill Uriah? Through his servants, basically, his army. How did Absalom kill Amnon?
Their servants.
So we see how these things all just, God always works these things out. David failed as a father. He should have, punished him. He doesn't. He gets very angry. What does he say here? Yeah. Yeah. Fury and indignation were David's reaction to the report of the rape. Because he did not punish Amnon for his crime, he abdicated his responsibility both as king and as a father. The lack of justice in the land would come back to haunt David in a future day. That's in chapter 15, verse 4. Okay. Let's look at chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Anybody have anything they want to add? Okay, Joab's plans.
14. Now Joab the son of Zeruiah knew that the king's heart went out to Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and brought from there a wise woman and said to her, "Pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments. Do not anoint yourself with oil, but behave like a woman who has been mourning many days for the dead. Go to the king and speak thus to him." So Joab put the words into her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa came to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and paid homage and said, "Save me, O king." And the king said to her, "What is your trouble?" She answered, "Alas, I am a widow. My husband is dead, and your servant had two sons, and they quarreled with one another in the field. There was no one to separate them, and one struck the other and killed him. And now the whole clan has risen against your servant, and they say, 'Give up the man who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed.' And so they would destroy the heir also. Thus they would quench my coal that is left, and leave to my husband neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth." And the king said to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you." And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, "On me be the guilt, my lord the king, and on my father's house. Let the king and his throne be guiltless." The king said, "If anyone says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall never touch you again." And then she said, "Please let the king invoke the Lord your God, that the avenger of blood kill no more, and my son be not destroyed." He said, "As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground." Then the woman said, "Please let your servant speak a word to my lord, the king." He said, "Speak."
Okay, any questions about that? A little confused, Mary. So what's on the heart of David? 3 years have passed, by the way. What's in the heart of David?
Justice in this situation.
Well, look at the end of 13.
His heart
went out to Absalom. Okay. And it's obvious. And so what did Joab do?
Tries to make it happen.
And how does he do it?
Through the same way that Nathan did it. Yeah. Tell him a story.
He's
a sucker for stories.
Well, it's also a good leadership tactic. Mm-hmm. Role, okay?
To use stories?
Well, you are going to, you will drive. What do you think Jesus spoke in parables? By the way. Because the stories are easy, he made us, and that's how we remember things.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, that's what. Joab does. He encourages him to go to Absalom. Of course, behind the scenes, we don't, Kurtzir doesn't know, but we know what this is going to do to David. Let's look at verses 13 through 33.
And the woman said, "Why then have you planned such a thing against the people of God? For in giving this decision, the king convicts himself, inasmuch as the king does not bring his banished one home. We must all die. We are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God will not take away life, and he devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast. Now I have come to say this to my lord, the king, because the people have made me afraid. And your servant thought, I will speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his servant. For the king will hear and deliver his servant from the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together from the heritage of God. And your servant thought, the word of my lord the king will set me at rest. For my lord the king is like the angel of God to discern good and evil. The Lord your God be with you. Then the king answered the woman, do not hide from me anything I ask you. And the woman said, let my lord the king speak. The king said, is the hand of Joab with you in all this? The woman answered and said, as surely as you live, my lord the king, one cannot turn to the right hand or to the left from anything that my lord the king has said. It was your servant Joab who commanded me. It was he who put all these words in the mouth of your servant. In order to change the course of things, your servant Joab did this. But my lord has wisdom like the wisdom of the angel of God to know all things that are on the earth. Then the king said to Joab, behold now, I grant this. Go back with the young man Absalom. And Joab fell on his face to the ground and paid homage to blessed the king. And Joab said, today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, my lord the king, and that the king has granted the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him dwell apart in his own house. He is not to come into my presence. So Absalom lived apart in his own house and did not come into the king's presence. Now in all Israel there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, or at the end of every ear he used to cut it, when it was heavy on him, he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head, 200 shekels by the king's weight. There were born to Absalom 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a beautiful woman. So Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem, without coming into the king's presence. Then Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but Joab would not come to him. And he sent a second time, Joab would not come. And then he said to his servants, See, Joab's field is next to mine. And he has barley there. Go and set it on fire. So Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and went to Absalom at his house and said to him, why have your servants set my field on fire? Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent word to you. Come here, that I may send you to the king to ask, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still. Now therefore let me go into the presence of the king. And if there is guilt in me, let him put me to death. Then Joab went to the king and told him, and he summoned Absalom. So he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed him. That's one.
I'll set his field on fire. He's not going to come.
Did he try to get
him there? Yeah.
He texted you 3 times.
So how much time has passed?
4 years.
What?
5 years.
Well, since 2 full years, right?
2, and then there was 3 before that. Oh, well, wasn't he?
3 years, but he was
3 years exiled.
But he was brought to the king, but the king couldn't be in his presence for 2 years. Mm-hmm. What was David doing in that time? Was he trying to teach Absalom? Because it didn't work. He wanted to see a repentant Absalom. Did that work? What he was trying to do? Because it was always, you want to be in the presence of the king, was always a blessing. No, I'm not giving you that blessing. He was trying to teach repentance. Because what happened after David sinned? He was called out on it. He repented.
And he had to admit
and
own up to it. And obviously, Absalom.
It did that work. Because
he says, if there is guilt in me, if there is guilt in me.
It did not work. Okay.
Is he he still felt like he was justified in killing her.
And so whoever is the mother of Absalom, David would say, think her just like your mother.
Mother's getting a little bad rap here.
Well, I'm saying that because that probably didn't come from David, because David was repentant. I don't know if it came from his mother. It could come from someone that down the line or previous to them. But the point being is that, you know, he did not repent. There was no remorse. And why do we think that there was no remorse and no repentance? It would be our guess. Spirit's not working yet, but what has happened to his heart?
His heart is bitter.
It's bitter, it's cold. It's unfeeling.
It never changed.
Yeah, the anger has hardened it. It didn't change. And we know that now because what does he do? He burns the field.
Daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur.
Okay. The other problem with Absalom is what? Yeah, the people would have despised him, but what do you have going for him?
He's handsome.
He's handsome. like Saul. So he had a full head of hair, 5 pounds of hair. Erica, you met your match. How do you get 5 pounds of hair?
Is that what it is? 5 pounds?
Yes, 5 pounds.
2 talents?
It's yeah, 5 pounds.
Okay.
How much?
I don't think my daughter's weighs 5 pounds. She has big, long hair. It's heavy.
It's heavy as that side.
We haven't weighed it. Maybe we can do that. See, it's 5 pounds.
My wife has such a beautiful head of hair. I don't know. Guess that I have to go all the way down to the floor to cut it to get 5 pounds.
Either that or he didn't wash it.
It kind of was a year, so it wouldn't have been that long.
Yeah, did we?
So there was no defect in him.
Hair only grows 6 inches a year, and if your opponent has fast growing hair, you may get 7 to 8 inches a year. But, or even if you were crazy fast and got 10, you ate all your vitamins, it's not, you know, he's never trying to grow your hair out.
No, he wasn't.
200 shekels, however many pounds that is. That's good.
So Absalom is a difficult child, and he's testing Dad. Okay. He throws a little bit of a temper tantrum, doesn't he? And David caves. Let me just look closer to this. You know, David loved the Lord and was passionate about him, was repentant, was a great leader, very good, and a great king. He wrote Psalms. Strong man, a military man, all of that, but he was just not a very good father. And to me, I take comfort in the fact, I think you should too, that you're not going to be good at everything. You know? So.
Well, you don't have to be, I guess. Yeah. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, and God did love David, but he was obviously not good at everything. He was still a human person.
Verse 33 says, so when Joab came to the king and told him, he called for Absalom. And Absalom came to the king and prostrated himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Now, what anything stand out to you in that last verse? Especially with what we know is going to happen in chapter 15. Is this a genuine repentance, a genuine, God, I'd love to see you, I'm going to humble myself before you, I fall prostrate before you, or was it an act? It was an act. So not only was he bitter, he also is playing the role of him, because in chapter 15, he begins his conspiracy to take the throne from David. Sin has its consequences. And that's the point, is that we're reading these, we're going to keep reading it about it. And that's, I think that's the author's point. God says it's going to happen, he will bring it about. And you just have to get the details of how it's all run about. And whether or not they were aware of it, what they were doing, if Absalom was aware that he was being used by God to do it, I don't know. But we know. This also reminds me of that the spiritual maxim that God is more interested in developing your character than changing your circumstances. He was still at work within David. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our time tonight. Teach us again, that there are consequences to our sin. Even with what we may sin privately, we will have to give an account for that. And so, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just. You forgive us of our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He blesses us with a good night's sleep, get refreshed and ready to walk with you tomorrow. Be a good steward of the time you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Samuel has problems with his kids, and David has problems with his kids, and Lloyd has problems with his kids.
You're a good company, Lloyd, we all are.
It just doesn't quit. Adam has problems with his kids.